Join us for another spin in government circles with Norma Ronald, Ronald Baddeley, John Graham, and the men from the ministry, Richard Murdoch and Derek Giles. The General Assistance section helps out any other government department that's overloaded, bringing to their many different tasks a degree of enthusiasm which can only be described as apathy. But today, Richard Lamb seems bursting with energy.
Mildred, I've finished off the Willesden sewage report.
Oh, well done, Mr. Lamb. You've only had it 8 years.
Well, sewage is a vital problem, so this morning I plunged right into it.
That's two jobs you've finished this month.
Is it?
Well, there was that Foreign Office thing.
Oh, yes. Did you check if they endorsed my proposals?
I tried, Mr. Lambert. I kept getting wrong numbers. Look, I'll have another go.
I sent them a whole portfolio of recommendations. I just hope they took some notice. These Foreign Office people need shaking up. Get on to the man who handled it.
Hello?
General Assistance Department here. Did you handle Mr. Lamb's portfolio?
Never. I never touched him. I don't know nothing about him.
Aren't you the Foreign Office?
Foreign Office? Do I sound like the running Foreign Office?
Well, no, I suppose not. Who are you then?
Ministry of Education.
You know, this phone system gets worse and worse. That's another wrong number.
It's no better if you go through the operator. Yesterday afternoon, I asked for the Bagshot Municipal Clerk's house.
Oh, yeah, I remember you looked a bit puzzled. What number did they give you?
The Bangkok Municipal Bathhouse. It's not good enough, Mildred. The whole of our public service needs revitalizing, starting with our own department. Look at the place. Mr. Lennox Brown's carpet slippers in the in tray. Mice nesting in the filing cabinet. It's time we got with it.
Oh, what's come over you this morning, Mr. Lamb? Is it that book you're reading?
What?
That book on your desk. How to Be Dynamic, The Key to Success, reduced to 14 pence.
Well, it certainly helped, Mildred, but I've known for years that I had vast untapped potential. And Mrs. Bratby, my landlady, agrees. She thinks I should go a long way.
Does she?
Yes, she said the further the better. This book is simply showing me new techniques, ways of channeling my natural dynamism.
Well, I'll pour you a cup of tea. It's a nice fresh pot.
Once I've mastered this book, they'll all be coming to me for advice. Mr. Lennox Brown, Sir Gregory, the minister, even the cabinet.
Here we are, lovely cuppers. Sugar's in the saucer.
Let's ask dynamic Richard Lamb, they'll say. He's got a good head on his shoulders.
Yours is the one with two lumps.
The civil service needs thrusting, vital youngsters like me. And for years I've been held back by old fuddy-duddies like Mr. Lennox Brown.
Mr. Lamb.
It's up to us men of vision to take the lead.
Mr. Lamb.
Yes, Mildred?
Your elbow's stuck in the teacup. Oh.
As I was saying, Mildred, I'm going to tear aside the veil of false modesty and show the world what I'm made of. I don't want to end up a has-been who never was, a no-hoper like, well, like,
Mr. Lennox Brown.
Yes, like Mr. Lennox Brown. Silly old twit. Oh, sorry, good morning, man.
Thank you. Morning, too, Mildred.
You don't often get here at this time, sir.
No, no, sorry I'm early. The trains are running late.
If the trains are late, why are you early?
I got to the station in good time for the 10:10 and caught the 9:45 by mistake.
According to my book, the morning is the best time for working. I'm going to be dynamic one. I'll be at the top of the tree.
That's very likely. Swinging from a branch and throwing down nuts.
Oh. It's easy to scoff. No one gives us youngsters a chance. Ah,
Lennox Brown.
Yeah. Oh, good morning, Sir Gregory.
Stop chattering, man. Oh, I've just seen Miss Wigg, assistant director of the post office. Something's got to be done about the country's telephone system.
About time, Sir Gregory, about time. Only yesterday I said to the operator, long distance to Manchester. She said yes, isn't it, and rang off.
And the phones in this building, sir, are terrible. My boyfriend's extension doesn't work at all. It's ruining our relationship.
I was speaking.
Oh, sorry, Sir Gregory. Yes, stop chattering, too.
Now, the post office feel they need fresh minds to look at the whole problem and make recommendations. They've asked for the help of the General Assistance Department.
And they shall have it, Sir Gregory, on my word, yes. Just leave it to us, sir.
Oh, I wouldn't dream of leaving it to you, Lennox Brown.
What?
You'll be working in liaison with Miss Wiggs' assistant.
Miss Wiggs' assistant?
Their telephone expert, Mr. Bell. He's the post office whiz kid, a top technical man, a dynamic, thrusting personality, I'm told.
You must have been reading my book.
Well, he's coming over tomorrow, and he'll be able to implement any plans you've come up with. So start thinking. And remember, no slip-ups.
Yes,
this task is vital for the well-being of the nation.
Have you noticed one? Sir Gregory doesn't bare his teeth at us anymore.
Now get on with it!
Oh, yes, he does. Ah, you're just in time, one. Mr. Bell will be here any minute.
Yes, well, I'm aware of that, too. What's that mass of papers you're carrying?
It's my master plan for ministry phones. You know we're always getting wrong numbers.
I do, indeed. Every time I dial the House of Commons, I get the gas council.
Well, we must change all the numbers round.
Change them round?
Perfectly simple, one. When you ring a number, the wrong office answers. So what we have to do is to give the wrong number to the right office, and conversely, the right number to the wrong office, so that when you ring, you still get the office you've got before, but this time it's the office you want.
Let's have a cup of tea.
I put the teacups away, one.
What?
We must make a good impression on our visitor. I've also put away your golf clubs, and I've moved your slippers and the toast rack from your in-tray.
Yeah, but where have you put them?
In your out-tray.
Well, you know I don't like changes, too. I don't like the sound of this chap, either. What's he, Gregory, call him? A whiz kid or something?
He'll be young and keen and thrusting, like me.
He'll be straight out of university, full of new ideas, and wanting to change everything.
We've got to move with the times, man. It's the only way to succeed, and we must succeed with this telephone job.
I don't see why. I believe in the old Whitehall motto. It used to be carved above our door, do you remember? If at first you don't succeed, give up.
Mr. Bell's here, sir.
Oh, good Lord, the bounder's on time. That's the trouble with these youngsters. No sense of decorum. Yeah, all right, Mildred, show him in, will you?
Yes, sir. Will you come this way, Mr. Bell?
You're a whiz kid, indeed. I know his sort.
There we are, then. Good morning, Mr. Lennox Brown.
That's the hat stand, Mr. Bell. They're over there.
Oh, yes. Yes, good morning.
You're not Mr. Bell.
Am I not? Oh, that's odd. Oh, no, just a minute. No, you're wrong. I am Mr. Bell. Josiah Bell.
Oh, yes. Well, I'm Lennox Brown, and that's my junior colleague over there dusting the furniture.
I'm Richard Lamb, and I'm brimming over with ideas for modernizing the telephone.
Oh, then I hope you'll keep them to yourself. I can't be doing with you ambitious youngsters always trying to change things.
Maybe, pardon?
Matter of fact, I can't be doing me telephones at all. If the good Lord meant us to have telephones, we'd have been born with black plastic headsets.
My word, Mr. Bell, you're a man after my own heart.
Nasty, noisy things, telephones.
Oh, certainly, yes.
Semaphore, that's your answer. Give your customer a little flag and let him stand at the window and wave it about.
Mr. Bell, I thought you were the assistant chief engineer at the post office.
Oh, yes, I am. I am. All a mistake, you see. When I joined, I was hoping to be a postman.
Well, the country's got a telephone system, Mr. Bell, and we've been asked to improve it.
I know, I know.
We were told that you'd carry out any ideas we thought up, is that right?
Yes, yes, if you insist.
We do. Of course, our real job is the National Phone Service, but I thought we should start by getting Whitehall right.
Yes, there's something in what my colleague says, Mr. Bell. I mean, every time we dial, we get a wrong number, you see.
And we get crossed lines. Oh, here. Did I tell you, sir? I come in on Sir Gregory this morning, talking to Miss Bentwater in the typing pool.
Mildred, you shouldn't pass on gossip.
Well, what else can I do with it? Sir Gregory said if Miss Bentwater was tired, she could come to his office and lie down for a bit.
The thing is, Mr. Bell, we always get the same wrong numbers. So it's just a question of reallocating each number through the office you get when you dial it. I've worked out a whole new network.
Oh, as long as I don't have to go messing about with the wiring and so on, give me the details and I'll put it in hand.
And then I have some other plans, Mr. Bell.
Yes, good, too good, thank you. Now, why don't you take Mr. Bell into the other room and go through them there?
All right, Bell. For a start, I thought we might all be computerized.
No, no, modern medicine never helped anyone.
Oh, I can't stand the sight of all that work going on. Now then, Mildred, what about a cup of tea?
Very impressive, Lennox Brown. A new set of numbers for Whitehall, eh? And all within a week. You've really got on with it.
Oh, well, I don't believe in hanging about, Sir Gregory. Once you've given us a job, I'd like to get my teeth into it.
Where's Lamb this morning? Hasn't he been helping you?
Oh, well, he's done his best, Sir Gregory. Sharpened the pencils and so on, you know. But as it's really my project, you see, I didn't think it necessary to bring him with me.
Quite. Well, if you've sorted out the ministry's phones, we're all in your debt.
Wrong numbers will be a thing of the past, sir. Now, here's your new directory, and copies have been sent to each department.
Well done, well done. Now I must get back to work. Try out some of your new numbers, eh?
Why not, sir? Yes, perhaps a little call to the typing pool, sir. Miss Bentwater now has her own phone, you know.
Ah, oh, yes, yes. Good idea. She has been doing one or two things for me. I'll give her a ring.
There's the number, Sir Gregory.
Ah, 222. Well, that's not difficult.
No, sir, no. Miss Bentwater's a very easy number.
What? Oh, I see. Yes. Well, thank you. That's fun.
Thank you, Sir Gregory. And happy phoning.
And now then, 222. Well, well, Lennox Brown's done something right for once. Wonders will never cease. Hello, my little lotus blossom. Why don't you pop up to my office for a teensy-weensy double gin and a little bit of, you know what?
Yeah, what's your name?
I beg your pardon. Isn't there the typing pool?
No, exactly. This is a boiler room. And any more of that filthy talk and I'll have you run in. So build up, you dirty little devil, and have a cold shower.
Did I misdial? Boiler room. Boiler room. Ah, 322. Perhaps I did. Just a minute. How dare he speak to me like that? I'll have his ear for ashtrays. I must ring him back at once. Now then, 322. By George, I've got a few things to say to him. Now look here, you uncouth lump. You foul-mouthed vulgarian oaf. You'd better watch it. Do you know who you're talking to?
And do you know to whom you are talking?
The boiler room?
This is Miss Wigg here, assistant director of the post office. That's Sir Gregory Pipkin, isn't it?
No, it isn't me. It's the new boiler man. Call Blimey. Send the crows.
Boiler man, eh? Well, I will not tolerate obscene phone calls. What is your name?
What? My name, Lennox Brown. That'll put her off the scent, and it won't do Lennox Brown much good either. Incompetent blackguard. Wrong number's a thing of the past, eh? Hello?
Is that the canteen?
No, it is not the canteen. It's the boiler room. It's me, Sir Gregory Pipkin.
Oh, sorry, sir. Parker of Pensions here. I wanted the canteen.
Well, this is not the canteen.
The phones have gone all haywire. I rang what I thought was the canteen and asked them to send up something hot and tasty. And two girls arrived from admin. It's too much.
Well, send one of them away. Oh, it's incredible. Give Lennox Brown any simple task and he'll turn it into a disaster. Well, he's done it once too often. This time, I'm going to murder him.
Poor Mr. Lennox Brown. Have another drop of brandy. There's plenty more in the first aid cupboards.
Thank you, Mildred. I'll be all right in a moment once I get my breath back.
I've never seen Sir Gregory so angry.
Because Lamb's ridiculous phone scheme didn't work. Seemed to think it was my idea.
Well, he had no right to attack you physically. He could have done you mischief.
Don't think it's actually broken, is it?
Well, it's gone all wobbly. Never be the same again.
Better put something around it.
Your wife will be upset when she sees what Sir Gregory's done to you.
Yes, she certainly will. She gave me that umbrella for Christmas.
It's a blooming shame.
Yes, mind you, it's not so much the umbrella, really. It's what Sir Gregory said that hurts most, you know.
Now, put it out of your mind, sir. Forget it, like I have. Just because he called you a half-baked, half-witty, yes, good-for-nothing nitwit doesn't mean you are one. Not definitely.
But there was worse than that, you know. He actually talked of replacing me. Said I wasn't up to the job and that he might have someone else take over.
They'll never find another one like you, sir.
And Lamb escaped all this through being out of the room. Where is he now, by the way?
He went up to the roof, sir.
Up to the roof? He's not opting out again, is he?
No, sir. It's his socks.
What?
He washes them in the men's room and hangs them out to dry on the telephone wires.
Linux
Brown? Oh, glory, it is back.
Now,
I've thought further about this and decided you are unfit to run this department.
What?
You're out of touch, incompetent, woolly-headed, injudicious, unstable, and plain bone idle.
Sir Gregory, if there's something about me you don't like, please say so.
I've been sitting in my office wondering who should replace you, and then I happened to look out of the window, and I saw a young man up on the roof. He seemed to be adjusting the telephone wires, no doubt seeking to repair your ghastly mistakes.
Who was this, young man, Sir Gregory?
Was he carrying a pair of wet socks?
He's a man I've not been much impressed with in the past, but now I begin to think I was wrong. Once he's given responsibility, I think we'll see a new side of him. He's outside now, the man I'm promoting. Come in, Richard Lamb.
Lamb?
Lamb, you and I haven't always seen eye to eye in the past. But that's all over. The slate is wiped clean. Now that you're in charge, I believe you'll surprise us.
I'm sure I will, Sir Gregory.
And don't underestimate the problems that face you. Your predecessor has brought this department to the brink of disaster.
Don't worry. I'll give it the push it needs. I know I can make a success of this job, Sir Gregory. I have my youth to help me.
You'd better get him round here quickly.
For a start, Lamb, I want these phone problems sorted out.
You can rely on me. You'll see some drastic changes.
I'm sure I shall. Look, you'd better have a spot of lunch with me today. Celebrate your promotion, right?
Oh, very kind of you, Sir Gregory. I'd be delighted.
Good. 1 o'clock at nightclub, then.
Thank you.
Good luck.
Well, that's it, then. I'm in charge. I knew that book would change my life.
Oh, don't be daft, too.
And don't call me two anymore. Now I've taken over this department, I'm one.
If you ask me, you always were one.
And another thing, as head of the department, I shall have the swivel chair in future.
Thank you.
And I'll have first crack at the tea time biscuits.
What?
And I'll have the hyacinth on my desk, and you can have that moldy old cactus that looks like a dead gherkin.
As far as I'm concerned, you're welcome to the lot, including the ministry phone problem.
Oh, I'll soon deal with that. I'm going to make everyone change offices.
Change offices?
It's the obvious thing to do. When we dial the accounts department, we always get the hall porter. So the answer is to move the hall porter up to accounts.
And the accounts department down to the hall porter's cubbyhole.
That's right. Oh. I'll make everyone switch offices. It'll stimulate their thinking.
I bet it will. Well, I'm going home. I've heard enough for one day.
Going home? Certainly not. There's work for you to do.
Work? Me? Well, how dare you make such a suggestion?
For a start, I want you to sweep the corridor. It's filthy.
Sweep the corridor?
That's right. A tidy building means tidy thinking.
Give me the broom, Mildred. Anything to get away from this Genghis Khan.
Mr. Lennox Brown, he looks quite upset.
I've got to be firm, Mildred. Personal feelings mustn't intrude on business efficiency. Chapter 8.
Yeah, but what about all this moving offices? Do you think Sir Gregory will agree?
I'll tell him about it at lunch. I'm sure he'll be delighted.
No, I don't know. He can get quite niggly about things like that.
Well, you may have a point. My book says something about hostile reaction from seniors. Ah, yes, here we are. New ideas sometimes upset old fogies. If this happens, use your sense of humor. When you're in trouble with senior staff, crack a joke and have a laugh. They often emphasize a point with a clever little rhyme like that.
Blimey.
It should be an interesting lunch, Mildred. Wish me luck.
Yeah, I will. You're blooming well going to need it.
Oh, that was an excellent lunch, Sir Gregory, but I'll have to sit quiet for a bit.
Have another glass of champagne.
Oh, well, if you insist.
I do. If the bill comes to less than a tenner, the expenses people won't believe I've been lunching a foreign VIP.
I expect you'd like to hear my plan for the minister at home.
Yes. I think we'd better have another bottle.
I'm arranging for everyone to change offices. Your desk has gone down to the canteen kitchen.
Has it? Well done. What? What did you say? My desk has gone where?
Between the potato peeler and the waste disposal unit.
You expect me to work in the kitchen? Me? In the kitchen?
Yes.
But what about the smell?
Oh, the cooks won't mind. They're not fussy.
Are you playing at?
You're not pleased, Sir Gregory?
Pleased? Do I look pleased?
No. No, it was all a joke.
A joke?
Yes. New ideas sometimes upset old... we must use our sense of humour, Sir Foggett. That is to say, don't let work be grim and bitter. Share a quip and have a titter.
Then you weren't serious when you said you'd switch the offices around.
Wasn't I? Yeah, I wasn't, yes. Yes, modern experts say a spot of fun helps towards greater efficiency.
Well, there may be something in that. No doubt you'll soon sort out these ministry phones. But we must see improvements in the national system. That's the main task.
I'm already moving on that, sir. I'm going up the post office tower this afternoon. It's the nerve center of the country's telephone.
Well, I'm off on leave from this evening. I hope there'll be some action in my absence.
Definitely, Sir Gregory. I'll be making a detailed study. My assistant, Lennox Brown, will be with me, and so will Mr. Bell from the post office. Isn't it exciting, Mr. Bell? I can't think why I haven't been up this tower before.
Waste of money, in my opinion.
What a marvelous view. Lennox Brown's taking a long time to get up here.
Pity he had to walk up. It's a lot of stairs, you know.
Well, with all that equipment in the staff lift, there was only room for two of us. Ah, here he comes. Hurry up, Lennox Brown. We've been up here for ages.
Oh, glory. 4,827 steps.
Never mind the statistics. Did you bring my pencil?
Yes, here you are.
Thank you. That'll be all, Lennox Brown. As you'll have to walk down again, you'd better start now.
If you don't mind, I'll stop here for a moment and get my breath back.
Mr. Bell, I feel the British telephone system needs those new devices I heard about downstairs.
Yes, yes, but we can't afford them. We haven't the money, you see.
Well, we must find the money. For a start, we should make proper use of this tower. As well as controlling the telephones, it could be used to make money.
But it is. There's the restaurant and the viewing gallery and the weighing machine.
But there's so much more you could do. Advertising, for instance. Think of the rates you could charge for hoardings up here. They'd be seen all over London.
Oh, bless my soul.
And free advertising for the telephone service. Oh, I can see it now. Don't sit around with your face in a wrinkle. Go to a phone box and have a quick tinkle.
Glorious.
There are all sorts of things this tower could be used for. Film locations, a funfair, discotheques.
A giant helter-skelter.
I say, what a brilliant idea. Perhaps the older generation has something to contribute after all.
A helter-skelter? The post office tower?
Yes, with people sliding down at tenpence a go. And have politicians' faces on the mats so you could sit on them all the way down. I know. Why not parachute jumping from the top?
Why not? Yes, you can only be deported.
Come along, Mr. Bell. We'll go and start making arrangements.
Look, I wasn't really serious about the helter-skelter.
Well, I am. Yeah. Don't worry your poor old head. Well, youth is at the helm now.
Well, I must say, Mr. Lamb, you've really changed the look of the post office tower.
Look out of the window, Lennox Brown. There are hundreds queuing for the helter-skelter. They're all having fun at the top.
Just as well. They're in for some pain at the bottom.
And all them neon signs flashing away.
How do you like the slogan, Mildred? It's all happening now. Go, go, go with the GPO.
Yeah. But some of the lights aren't working, are they?
Oh, he's right, Mr. Lamb. When it gets dark, that's going to read... It's all no go with the GPO.
There are bound to be teething troubles, but it'll be an absolute goldmine. And we'll use the profits to modernize Britain's phone system.
Which in the meantime is worse than ever. Old Stringfellow dialed a speaking clock yesterday, and a woman's voice asked the time.
We've been getting wrong numbers for years.
Yes, but never as bad as this man. Now look, you mark my words. All that junk round the post office tower is making things worse.
Nonsense.
Ah, I must phone Mrs. Bradby and tell her about tonight's supper. She asked me to bring in some fish fingers, but they were all gone, so I had to settle for sausages. I don't care what you say, Lennox Brown. We're on the brink of a great step forward in telephone history. Hello, it's me. Just to tell you, it won't be fish fingers because there weren't any, but I've got some skinless sausages.
Would you mind repeating that statement, if you please?
Who's that?
This is the President of the United States.
What are you doing in Mrs. Bradby's house?
This is the White House, Washington.
But I want to speak to Mrs. Bradby about my hot supper.
You're speaking to the President on the hot line.
Oh, I think I must have got the wrong number. Sorry you've been troubled. Goodbye. Oh, dear. The phones are going wrong. I got the American President.
Oh, I told you, didn't I? I told you. That's delicate equipment on the post office tower. With all that paraphernalia in the way, anything can happen.
Oh, I don't feel very well.
And here is the news read by John Curl. Reports are still flooding in of chaos in Britain's telephone system. All numbers now dialed are automatically incorrect, and most people have been forced to move to the locations where their calls actually arrive. Calls to 10 Downing Street are coming through on an engineer's phone at the top of a Hampstead telegraph pole. The cabinet are meeting on Hampstead Heath to discuss the situation, and the Prime Minister himself is up the pole. The leader of the opposition is taking his calls down a hole in the pavement of Streatham Broadway. Calls to Scotland Yard are coming through in the latest section of a Turkish bath. The Home Secretary has promised to look into it. The Archbishop of Canterbury, whose phone has been ringing all night, has issued a statement emphatically denying that he advertised himself as a model in a Soho paper shop. The telephone troubles are believed to stem from the addition to the post office tower of a helter-skelter and other heavy equipment. The top of the tower has now bent over under the weight, and diners at the restaurant are being advised to fasten their safety belts.
Oh, you speak to him, man. I've got to go and wash my socks.
Stay where you are, too. You're not escaping twice.
But you're in charge again now. I resigned last week.
Yes, and just as well you did. At least I've got things more or less back to normal. Think yourself lucky Sir Gregory's been away all this time.
You bungling idiots! You cretinous, boneheaded nincompoops! And you can stop trying to crawl under the carpet, Lamb. I can see you.
I'm not dynamic anymore, Sir Gregory. I did my best, but it bent in the middle, so I opted out, and now Mr. Leonard Brown's doing it.
What my colleague is trying to say, Sir Gregory, is that in your absence, you relinquished the reins of power. I took them up again, knowing that would be your wish.
Well, I suppose at present there's no alternative.
The tower has been threatened and returned to normal, and the phones are working as before, sir. But I have great plans to modernize the whole system as you originally wished.
No. Leave it.
No?
Leave it.
Oh.
Miss Wigg tells me that since Lamb caused that chaos, telephone users have realized how well off they were before. So we'll keep things as they are.
Ah, well, just as you say, Sir Gregory, yes, at least I've stopped that wrong number trouble.
Miss Wigg will be relieved to hear it. I must ring her and tell her the news. I suppose I was lucky to miss all the panic.
Oh, well, things were pretty bad, I can tell you, sir. You will scarcely believe it, but at one point, Lamb dialed a local call and got the American President.
Good.
Oh, yes. Well, that won't happen again.
Just to tell you, madam, that I've straightened the whole thing out. All phones are now working correctly.
Please repeat that. Afraid I do not understand.
That isn't Miss Wigg, is it?
Afraid not. Kindly ling off at once. As president, I cannot waste time chatting to decadent Western Liflas.
President? That's not...
Yes, it bloody well is. You are interrupting thoughts of Mao.
Good Lord. Lennox Brown.
I can explain to you.
Lennox Brown.